Hi. Hey, thanks so much for being here and thanks for choosing to spend this time with me. This is Bill Bauman, of course, and I'm looking really forward to chatting with you. Let's spend a little time together looking at this whole funny thing called duality and even morality. I've entitled this Mastering Duality. Think about that. Mastering Duality and my little subtitle is embracing both sides. If we ask ourselves the question, isn't duality puzzling? Here we are living in a world of opposites, individuality, differences, separation, and not just opposites like up and down, right or left, but also, and maybe especially, opposites that come with that added ingredient that we call morality. With this more challenging addition, morality, we start to view some of these opposites not just as opposites, but as good or positive, others as bad or negative, or sometimes even downright frightening. So it seems like you and I are surrounded with these morality-viewed opposites on a daily basis. We usually wind up choosing one side or another. I don't know if you've noticed that in yourself. And indeed, each side of any moral equation seems to be kind of always begging for our attention, our loyalty, sort of like it's looking at us, imploring us, saying, choose me, choose me. Well, in this context, let's take a good look at ourselves, you and me. Now, for most of us, like you, like me, who claim a spiritual nature, morally tinged duality, I think, is especially challenging. Why? Well, in the bigger picture, in the grander light field, whence we come, and which our mighty spirit still calls home, there's literally no such thing as duality. That's right. In our prized spiritual and light-filled world, we see everything only through the eyes of oneness. There, and in our light-filled soul as well, so not only up there, but in here, individuality and separation are not really there. They're actually foreign concepts. Nor is the concept of morality there. So, consequently, you and I, now clothed in our humble human skin, tend to feel a little less comfortable because our source is not in duality. So, we're less comfortable with this morality-oriented duality concept than maybe a lot of people are. So, think about this. How do you relate to duality? How do you relate to its moral undertones or overtones? Now, most people, I think, they deal with them by making choices, choosing what they perceive as the good, like the positive, the right, the fair, etc., and rejecting its opposite, like the bad or the negative or the unfair, etc. So such choosing actually leaves them feeling that what they're doing is, you got it, the right thing. Like they're being loyal to the right truth and they're having the right beliefs. And actually, that can be quite satisfying in the short run. At least some people could argue that. But in my view, I think it's only satisfying in the short run. If we look at it in the long run, that approach, I think, has a significant downside. Specifically, it does not free us from the lure and the grip of this convincing concept called duality. With each choice we make, we're reinforcing our habit of choosing one side over the other. So we're strengthening also the vicious cycle of perceived opposites, some as morally right or wrong, good or bad, safe or dangerous, etc. And there are thousands of those. So as a result, we re-invite ourselves every time we make a choice like that. We re-invite ourselves to push half of life's experiences away from our own experience. we reinvite ourselves to feel like we're in opposition to like half of the human story. And we invite ourselves to look for relationships only with those who believe in the side that we're more comfortable with. So in short, if we put all that together, you and I lock ourselves in a persistent, ongoing pattern of making moral value judgments about presumed opposites. So here's a question. Do you really want to stay locked in this cycle of right versus wrong, me versus them, truth versus untruth? Most people, I think, do. Simply because, as they might say it, hey, that's just the nature of life here on Earth. Or they might say, you know, that's just being human. Well, they may be right. After all, many religions tell us that choosing good over evil is, you know, the surefire path to heaven. And that choosing evil is, well, we all know how that ends. Likewise, many philosophers, many psychologists tell us that making morally healthy choices will surely lead us to increased happiness, or maybe personal fulfillment or inner peace. Well, are they right? Or are they wrong? Hey, parentheses, get the duality-filled irony of that question, right, wrong, close parentheses. So, be with me here. This is important. I'm about to give you a radical invitation. A radical invitation. But first, I want to offer you an important interpretation. Here it is. This cycle of perceiving our earthly life through a lens of duality is not a requirement for human living, for successful human living, for happy human living. It's merely an option, albeit a pervasive one, a mentally convincing one. So I want to repeat that. It's not a requirement. We don't have to be doing this. It's just an option. It's one style of relating to life in relation to and compared to many others. Now, let's bring in a context. So for context, compare this interpretation, it's not a requirement, to the seeming reality of time and space. Two phenomena that pretty much all of us have historically claimed as real. Well, first, Albert Einstein and now most other quantum physicists actually assure us that space and time aren't real, that they're mere illusions, that they're phantasms. Again, convincing perceptions, yes, but experience is real only because we believe that they exist. Sort of like as you believe, so it is. Because we believe it, we see it, and we say, that's there. Well, could the same be true of our morality-fueled approaches to duality? I think so. So remember I said I'm about to give you a radical invitation. You ready? Oh, good. Here it is. How about letting your soul, S-O-U-L, letting your soul take over your approach to duality? There's an interesting concept. And you might say, well, why? And I would say, well, precisely because your powerfully present soul is your personalized light. It is the bigger light field whence we have come. It is the bigger light field that's alive within you. It's your spiritual truth center. Your soul knows the bigger truth, sees the bigger truth, and has as one of its roles to translate that bigger truth into your human consciousness, human awareness, and hopefully human behavior. It knows and sees this bigger truth, the truth of the innate oneness that unifies everything and everyone. So, where your trained mind might see differences and separation, What does your soul see? Your soul sees interconnectedness, oneness. Well, while your mind might call you to choose good over bad, your soul calls you to not even relate to the concept of good or bad. Instead, your soul calls you to embrace both sides of that spectrum. Embrace its ups, its downs, its perceived positive and negatives. Both sides, not either or, both and. Is that invitation radical? Could be. Is your soul radical? Maybe that's the bigger question. Come to think of it, from a human perspective, yes, absolutely, your soul is radical. It's especially compelling, radical, if you've been feeling perhaps strongly committed to the rightness of your beliefs or the wrongness of other people's beliefs. So let's dive into your soul's world filled with light. Let's ask your soul, which is truth-centered, for its wise guidance. Guidance about how it's maybe inviting us, you, me, to relate to this earthly human thing called morally charged duality. Well, here's my sense. I'd like to share it with you. My sense of what your all-knowing soul, your wisdom-filled soul, might suggest to you. And I put it into 6 bits of wisdom. First, number one, accept. Accept that you've come to this diverse planet in order to experience everything. Yes, everything, including both sides of any circumstance, both sides of any event, both sides of any person. So just to say that in one other way, accept, if we look at that word accept, accept in your mind, accept into your heart, accept into your total consciousness. Wow, this is a fully experiential planet. And we're all here to experience everything that it's got to offer. Number two, in turn, discontinue judging, labeling, pushing away, or criticizing whatever discomforts you, irritates you, disturbs you. So, wow, one, we accept. And two, in turn, we say, okay, I'm going to let go of all the ways I've been pushing those things away by judging and labeling. Three, then embrace. Embrace what you don't like. Embrace whatever you don't believe in. Embrace whatever you don't agree with. So in other words, wow, become friends with whatever or whomever you've been interpreting, perceiving, judging as negative, as wrong, as whatever. It doesn't matter. Embrace it. So number one, accept. Number two, discontinue judging. Number three, embrace it. And therefore, number four, allow that. Allow these seeming wrong beliefs, these seeming bad persons, these seeming unfortunate events, invite them into your heart. So that to me is what your soul would say. Ah, help yourself by taking some of the debate out of your mind and activate your heart. Bring your heart into this. Invite them into your heart. So whatever you don't like, bring to your heart, into your loving heart, into your embracing heart, into your heart that doesn't know a judgment, into your heart that only knows, ah, everything here is this divine presence. In fact, while you're at it, hold them in your heart regularly. And when you do, you start to consciously experience your heart's love for them. And you look at that love and you say, wow, this is my heart loving what my mind has a hard time accepting. And then you start to join in with your heart and you start loving. Number five, invite your mind. See, we're back to your mind now. Invite your mind to experience them, not any longer as right or wrong, good or bad, fortunate or unfortunate, but simply, and your mind will understand this, simply as a point of view, as another style of expression. In other words, inviting your mind again away from the judgment and just saying, oh, well, let me just look at it as, oh, there's another point of view. I'll just sit with it as another point of view. And number six, the last one. Now, having actively embraced the first five approaches, get ready for this. Dedicate yourself to a life-changing project. Dedicate yourself to a project. And the project is this: turning your whole concept and experience of duality into one of unity and oneness. What? What? You might be asking yourself, Bill, you've really lost your sense of reality now. You might be muttering words like that under your breath. Of course, if it's under your breath, I wouldn't hear them, so I wouldn't know. But for the sake of conversation, let's say you're undoubtedly right about that last statement. Maybe I've lost my sense of reality, or maybe I've lost my sense of what we've historically thought of humanly as reality. So bear with me. Let's take a good look at what I want to call the magical how-to of seeing two opposites as united, of viewing perceived differences as unified, and of seeing morally driven duality through the purer eyes of unity. Now, I have this little comment that I'd like to share with you, and it's this. So get ready to agree or disagree. It's quite easy, this how-to. It's quite easy, actually. It just takes a little practice. Well, okay, maybe it takes a lot of practice. Let's not be too picky about the timing or the effort here. So I want to share with you a suggested, fairly simple how-to. Take it or don't take it, depending on your style. A simple how-to for you to try out, of course, if you feel so inclined. And if you do feel inclined, feel free to modify it to suit your personal style. The key to the how-to, just before I spell it out, is this. Give equal attention to both sides of any spectrum, both sides of any situation, both sides of anybody's personality trait, both sides of what you're perceiving, of whom you're perceiving. Give equal attention to both sides. So let me spell that out a little bit. But first, let me give you a reference. Just for reference, let's recall that physicists have long preached to us that for every phenomenon, there's an equal and opposite. For example, for every particle, there's an antiparticle. For every space, there's a non-space. They even say for every time, there's an anti-time or a non-time. Well, likewise, for every negative judgment, there's a positive one. And what would happen? Think about it. Take this in. What would happen if we would take both of those opposites, like the negative judgment and a positive one, and somehow magically, going back to the key of the how-to, magically give equal attention to each one? What would happen? Well, we're going to apply this principle to you and your relationship to duality and me and my relationship. So invite yourself again to view both sides of any set of opposites equally. For example, if you're judging someone as wrong or some situation as unfair Or if you're judging anything for having some negative quality, invite yourself to hold two views of that person, that situation, etc., simultaneously at the same time. One of them positive, one of them negative. In other words, you're not going to choose one and push the other away. You're going to say, okay, these both deserve my perfect attention, my equal attention. So then you give each of them equal attention. For example, just you can visualize this or see this in your mind. Try mentally looking at, let's pick a person, looking at that person, the person that you're viewing as negative, and you're saying, okay, I'm looking at that person positively, and I'm going to hold that view for 30 seconds. And then I'm going to shift over and look at that person negatively and hold that view for another 30 seconds. So we've given equal attention. They don't go back to the first, and then the second, and then the first, and then the second. And we may do that for, I don't know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. And we keep doing it for a while, going back and forth. And studies have shown that something amazing starts to happen. And it's this. Each one of these assumed opposites starts losing its earlier strength in your consciousness. And both of them, the more you go back and forth, giving them equal attention, equal time, equal value, both of them begin to merge. They start coming together. They start moving to the center in your awareness. And shortly, they completely merge into a unified mental state within you. Yes, you've just witnessed a seeming duality dissolve. You've witnessed it lose its dualistic nature. You've witnessed it become unified with its opposite. And yes, here's the bigger truth. Your mind, your precious human mind, has the capacity to hold two opposites, not just as separate and different, either or, but also as unified, both and. I say to you, congratulations. Really, congratulations. And let's recall, as we conclude our talk together here today, that this practice, which is only one of any number of practices that you could use, so feel free to use a different one or none at all if you care to. Let's recall that this practice is the product of your soul's wisdom. Let's call ourselves back to your soul that knows the truth of your calling, the truth of how you're called to be present to yourself, to this world, to others around you in the human experience. So this is the product of your soul's wisdom. It's your soul's way of inviting you and me back into the larger truth of creation, your creation, mine, the truth that you have the capacity and, could it be, the calling to live your human life in a state of oneness and unity. You're not designed or called to take on the many judgments that surround us in the human sphere. Rather, you can be here as a master of this morally, dualistically oriented human consciousness. A master not by continuing to choose one side that you would consider right, but by letting your all-knowing soul take charge of your human life and of your relationship to duality. In closing, I say to you, welcome to yet another version of your very own human mastering. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. This time to me has been and is sacred. And I feel that you are that sacred. And I thank you for embracing your mastery in relation to this precious something called duality in our human seeing.